Hi, I'm Ray Hager with the Reno Gazette Journal, and welcome to an all-new edition of the Rapid Newsmakers. Today's guest is Assemblyman David Bodzy, chairman of the Assembly Education Committee, and education is facing some pretty tough cuts in the upcoming legislature. And on our pundit panel today, we have Alfredo Alonso and Josh Hicks. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links. Protecting your investment.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today, of course, is David Bodzy, an assemblyman and the chairman of the Assembly Education Committee. Now, David, not only are you the chair of the Education Committee, your district includes the campus of the University of Nevada, Reno. And in an earlier conversation I had with Dan Klaich, he said that the last 4 years under the Gibbons administration was not good for higher ed. But Governor-elect Sandoval still has the no new taxes mantra. Does this mean more cuts for education, both higher ed and K-12?
Well, I think a lot of us in the legislature are taking a wait-and-see approach. We do have a new administration coming in. We do want to wait and see what Governor Sandoval proposes, but I am concerned that with that pledge, he's going to have a hard time reconciling that with the need to really support higher education and education generally in the state, particularly when we have these problems of, you know, economic development, people out of work,
right,
regrowing the businesses in our state. I'm very concerned that we're going to see some significant cuts proposed.
Well, you talk about economic development, and Brian Sandoval said with his administration, economic development is job one, and that's why he wants to keep Nevada a low-tax state. But on the other hand, I've heard many businessmen say that, you know, they would like to move to Nevada, but Nevada does not have an educated workforce. So it seems these two philosophies are kind of at loggerheads with each other. What do you want? An educated workforce, which is going to take money put into education, or do you want a low tax structure? It seems with the way we are now, we might get new industry, but it's not going to be high-tech industry.
Well, and I think that's going to be the fundamental conversation for the next legislative session, is trying to reconcile those two. We've always prided ourselves on being a lower tax state, mm-hmm. Lower regulations, and I think, you know, for the time being, there's not going to be dramatic changes to that, but we do have to understand that education is an investment, and it's an investment that we have to make in our economic development. I do see a new vigor on the part of the business community in advocating that position, and there's a lot going on the table as far as education reforms that are coming that are going to be discussed this next time. But with that comes that need for dollars, and we have made a lot of cuts to education in the last few sessions, and there really is a question as to whether or not you can go any further.
Right. Well, I can recall offhand four different rounds of cuts under the Gibbons administration that education and many other state agencies had to shoulder. Earlier this year, Nevada failed to make the cut in two rounds of the getting the federal Race to the Top funds. This could have been as much as $200 million for the state. That happened even though Governor Gibbons put together a blue ribbon panel and hired a consultant to finalize Nevada's application. What happened here, David? Why didn't we get the money, and could we still get some of it?
Well, first off, it's important to note that that process was very competitive. There were not a lot of states that got the money. And I think that there was a lot of positive developments and benefits from that process. The Blue Ribbon Task Force did a great job. They brought together a lot of different interests from different areas, and they came up with some really great ideas for moving the state forward. The benefit of going through that process, even though we didn't get the money, was that reviewers actually looked at that application and gave us some pretty good direction and response to that application that sets the table for a lot of the discussions about education reform this next session. Mm-hmm. So we got some great feedback. There is a question as to whether or not there'll be a round three opportunity. If that comes, that's great, and we'll certainly rise to the occasion and apply for that money, I hope. But fundamentally, because we went through that process, we now have a good roadmap for ideas to consider next legislative session to move the state forward when it comes to education.
Okay, when you talk about ideas, do we need to make some fundamental reforms to our education system in order to be eligible for any more Race to the Top funding if it comes around?
We've already made some of those reforms back during the special session. There was a statutory change dealing with whether or not student test scores could be used in teacher evaluations.
Right,
and so that
right.
was something that was made, and the review committee acknowledged that had happened. We've also adopted Common Core standards that have been developed between a number of states coming together looking at English, language arts, and in math, because 2 + 2 = 4, whether you're in Texas, Nevada, or Wyoming. So we've made some positive steps already because of this Race to the Top application process, and I think we've got room to do more.
Okay, I want to ask you one more question before we take a break. One of the key K-12 programs that have been put into place, it happened in the 07 legislature, was the full-day kindergarten funding. Now that's been kind of sliced back over and over, and now we have about, I'd say $25 million on an annual basis. That what it does is cover the expenses for about 464 full-time kindergarten teachers. I talked to Keith Rowe at the Department of Education yesterday. He says that is on the chopping block, and Nevada could lose that in this 2011 session.
And that's part of a larger sad story about those tough cuts that we've had to make. A number of innovative education programs we've had to curtail the funding for. Innovation grants to the school districts, the empowerment schools, full-day kindergarten, those are all, there were early round cuts that we had to pull money back out of. The tough thing about this, and as we're discussing education reforms, this next session we are going to have to acknowledge that reform and reform ideas have to come also with funding. You look at other states that are doing better when it comes to education, and you try to pick and choose what you can learn from those states and incorporate here. You see a lot of other states that make a really concerted commitment, such as Florida, to early childhood education. Mm-hmm. And so, we can't lose sight that that is important, and that is a key investment in our students and our future.
Okay, well, it seems like all the advancements made in the early part of the decade are now falling apart. There's more to talk about. We'll be right back with David Bobzien, the chairman of the Assembly Education Committee, after these few words.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I have urgent means. If you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Of course, our guest today is Assemblyman David Bobzien of Reno. He is the chairman of the Assembly Education Committee. Now, David, I wanted to ask you about something this I thought was terrible that happened this summer. It has to do with Moody's Investment Service. They recently dropped the ball and failed to deliver a contracted report on Nevada's tax structure. And that report was going to be the basis of a debate in the legislature about overhauling Nevada's tax structure. Many people feel it's too heavily dependent on gaming and sales tax. But now that we don't have the Moody's report, can this debate continue?
Well, the debate can continue, and it needs to continue, and it will continue. Clearly with the shortfall now at $2.7 billion balancing the budget is going to require some mixture of additional cuts and additional revenues. So, there's a lot of knowledge that'll be convened during the legislative session. Certainly, we have a lot of staff support that can help us look at the numbers and the scenarios and look at different models for how we can raise additional revenues. That discussion will continue, and we'll have to find a way to balance the budget.
Okay, there's something interesting that you said. You pegged the budget or proposed budget deficit at $2.7 billion. Now, that sounds very Democratic on your part. You have the Republicans and Brian Sandoval saying it's more like $1.1 billion. That's a big difference. Why is the Democrats' budget deficit so much higher than the Republicans?
Well, I hope that this conversation can be put to bed. It's sort of, I don't think it's very helpful that we're continuing to debate
this
number.
It's confusing.
The way that I look at it, and the agencies submit their budgets, and they say this is what it's going to take to keep the services at the levels that Nevadans expect right now. And so when you add in the furloughs having to be re-upped, you add in the sunsetted tax increases, that's the number that you arrive at. So, regardless of what the number is, I think everyone has to understand that this is a big number, and we have the largest percentage deficit of all of the states. So we are in very dire circumstances, and we have an enormous challenge ahead of us this next session.
Okay, now during the gubernatorial campaign, Democrat Roy Reid, who you supported, talked a lot about the importance of the future of green and renewable energy in Nevada. We also know that Nevada's monopoly on gaming is over. In the future, could green and renewable energy jobs replace the jobs lost in the gaming industry?
I don't know if they'll ever replace the jobs, and I don't know if it'll ever be the entire story of how we do our recovery in the state, but it's definitely going to play an important part if it's done right. There's still a lot of policy challenges for us ahead in terms of what sort of jobs are we going to get from the green economy. Is it just the production of green energy through solar plants and wind power and geothermal, or can we have a more vertical integration of designers and engineers and technologists at all levels of the green economy that can be located and have those jobs for Nevadans?
Well, that would seem to me that we would have to retrain our workforce. Therefore, the
education's a major part of it.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. I preaching to the choir on that. Now, an interesting dynamic of the 2011 legislature is that you're going to have more than 20 freshman lawmakers in there. And to me, it seems like with so many freshmen facing their first reelection campaign in the next election cycle, is that the lobbyist influence just increases by a large portion. Do you agree with that, or what do you think this dynamic of all these rookies is going to be?
You know, the story hasn't been written. I think we'll look back at the session and be able to evaluate that better. Definitely things are going to be dramatically different this session because of the large number of new faces that we have. But as a legislator, I always have to be an optimist and look for the good aspects and possibilities, and I do think that we are going to benefit by having all these new perspectives and these new faces and these new ideas.
Okay, now when you were running for office, running for re-election, you spoke to the Gazette Journal editorial board, and your take on it about the deficit was, you know, we can make some cuts, but we are going to have to raise some type of revenue or raise some type of taxes. Do you have any specific taxes in mind? Would you like, for instance, would you like to see a tax on services? We are a service-based economy, and that's an untapped resource.
Right off the bat, I think we have to look at rolling over the sunsets on the tax increases that were passed last session. That has to be done. I don't see any other way around that. As far as the other ideas, the other concepts that are out there, you know, those are going to be hotly debated. You know, I'm doing what I can to study up on other states and their experiences with those different types of taxes. They all have their drawbacks. And particularly in this economy, where there is so little economic activity right now to tax, if we wanted to, it's going to be a very delicate process trying to find ways to raise revenues in a sustainable way, in a fair way, and in a way that we can really plan for our future needs.
Okay, David, that's the time's run out. I appreciate you coming in today. We'll be right back after this with our Power Pundit panel after these few words from our sponsors.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for football. Watch your favorite pro and college games in Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction on over 25 giant TVs. Enjoy all-you-can-eat tailgate buffets Monday night and Thursday game nights. Enjoy Sunday breakfast buffets and build your own omelet. Create your own Bloody Marys and Bloody Beers. Join the Conductors Club and earn free play and comp dollars on the latest slots and video poker. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, north of the Summit on South Virginia. Yeah.
On the next Face to Face, he thinks the Tea Party will fizzle out and millionaires who escape paying higher taxes may not be so lucky 2 years from now. One-on-one with the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. Plus, Congresswoman Dina Titus says goodbye to Congress next Face to Face.
iMasters believes expectations are for raising. So instead of just one pair, how about two complete pair of glasses for $99? Two for you or a pair to share in hundreds of different styles. What would you say to two pair of no-line bifocals for $149? While we're at it, how about every frame, even designers, priced at just $59.95? Don't forget to use or lose your flex spending benefits. What are you waiting for? Come in today and decide. iMasters. Why pay more?
Welcome to the Rose Bowl. The team's taking the field. Not many people. Oh, my. He missed. Off to a rough start here. Somebody wants to go home.
If you're not watching college football in HD, you're watching Peewee TV. Get Charter TV and digital with free HD plus Charter Internet for only $64.98 for a full year. Call by noon for same-day installation. This week only.
Start your day with weather on the fours. News 4 Today has your day's forecast covered with weather on the fours.
Here's what we've got going on. There's that upper level low pushing all that moisture into the region.
Every weekday morning, only on News 4 Today.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to our All-Star Pundit panel today. First, we have Josh Hicks. He's attorney with Brownstein and Hyatt, and then Alfredo Alonso with Lewis and Rocha. Welcome to you both. Josh, let me start with you with Assemblyman Bobzian's interview. We talked about the need of businesses for a well-educated workforce, and that is almost diametrically opposed to businesses needing a low-tax environment. How do you solve this puzzle?
Well, that's the big question, and there's always that balance between how you deal with how you adequately fund higher education and how you keep it a low-tax state. We don't have the advantage that some other states have, where they've got large endowments for their universities. So we've historically funded our universities very much through the general fund, and you know, it'll be interesting to see what the Sandoval budget comes out with, to see if there may be a way to make the universities more self-funded to try to do something in that regard, to keep Nevada a low-tax state. But it's always, I don't know, necessarily think those are opposed ideas of keeping a low tax state and keeping higher education going strong. But when you fund higher education with a significant portion of general fund dollars, it certainly makes it a challenge.
Okay. Fredo, your take on it?
I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that's the dilemma the legislature and the governor has is how do you, you know, again, fund higher ed, which everybody knows. And I don't think there's any dispute that you cannot attract business here in the manner that we would like anyway, and still not have the types of graduates that will fill those positions. We find it every day, both on the renewable side, mm-hmm. on the tech side, on you know, you can look at any industry, and I hear it every day from our clients. The reason we're not coming to Nevada is because of lack of workforce, particularly on the higher ed side. So I think it's very, very important for the legislature and the governor to be very creative this session. If the money's not there, then the question's got to be, how do we make it easier for higher ed to raise that money and do what they need to do?
Okay, you mentioned two words, the legislature and the governor. And as you know, we're 4 days away from Governor Sandoval's inauguration. There's a spirit in the air of cooperation. And I just wonder, Alfredo, how long is that cooperation going to last once we get to the legislature? Do you think that we could have, you know, the same kind of squabbles as we had with the Gibbons administration, considering that Sandoval has a no new tax policy?
No, I think you know, Governor Sandoval is a completely different guy. I mean, he's got all the experience in the world with respect to the legislature and private business. He understands both sides of it. But more importantly, he's a nice guy. I mean, this is a governor that's going to be able to sit down with people, and they will be able to agree to disagree if that's where it goes. But I don't think you're going to have the fights or the squabbling or the uncertainty than you've had in the past. I think this is a governor that can work with the legislature.
Well, Josh, you worked for Governor Gibbons. You were his chief of staff. How do you see the relationship between the new governor, Brian Sandoval, and the legislature? Even though we've had a lot of turnover, you've got still many of the old people that are still there.
Right, and I think you're always going to have some level of squabbles, some fights. There's going to be some partisan bickering, especially with redistricting. But I think one thing that has changed between the last session and this session is also, to put things in context, is a certain level of acceptance of the budget situation. Going into 2009, there were a lot of legislators who just did not want to feel that the deficit was as big as it was.
That's a good point.
There were legislators who were saying it was a fantasy when mm-hmm. the deficit was at $260 million. Now it's in the $1 to $3 billion range. I think the 2 years that have gone by have steeled people to thinking to realizing that this recession is a very serious recession. Nevada's not bouncing back from it like we have in prior recessions, and I think that will help create a spirit of cooperation. And certainly, as Alfredo said, Governor Alex Sandoval is a very personable guy. He's very good at building some consensus. I think all those elements together are going to get people more on the same page and working towards a common goal together. So you probably won't see the level of antagonism that you saw in 2009.
Okay, do you think that Governor Sandoval will face a much more difficult task than Governor Gibbons ever did?
I think budget-wise, he's got a very hard task in front of him. The 2009 Gibbons GovRec budget was at $6.2 billion in general funds. And the Sandoval budget, which hasn't been released yet, but if it's not going to be based on any kind of new revenues, it'll probably be in the mid-5 range, somewhere like that, on general funds GovRec. So he's proposing an even leaner budget than Gibbons did in 2009. So it's going to be critically important for Governor Alex Sandoval to start building those consensuses, to get people on the same board, to communicate his message, and to find ways to make that budget work.
Okay, now Alfredo, in the legislature, after the recent election, that the Assembly lost their, the Democrats lost their two-thirds veto-proof majority. There's no veto-proof majority in the Senate. But do you feel that if it comes down to a tax hike that the governor vetoes and then it comes back, do you think that the Democrats in both houses could peel off enough moderate Republicans to override a Sandoval tax veto?
Well, that's a question. Again, we haven't seen the budget yet, and Josh Wright is probably going to be somewhere in the mid fives, you know, probably 5.3, 5.5. That's a huge difference in budget numbers from last session. So again, the governor's got a very difficult task in front of him. Can he ultimately create a budget that works, that the legislature can accept? You know, again, we don't know. And ultimately, when those numbers are brought out, will there be enough moderates that believe that they're willing to go along with the Democrats and override? Again, these are things that we have absolutely no idea where we're going to go until session starts. We're a long ways from that. I think, you know, anything's possible, but I think at the same time, we've got to give the governor a chance to unroll his budget and show us what he's got first.
Okay, and let's all hope for a spirit of cooperation. Well, except for us journalists, because we kind of like the controversy, but we got to stop it right there. We'll be right back to close out the show after these few minutes, so stay tuned.
This Friday, New Year's Eve, we'll be open 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. Ring out 2010 with our guaranteed lowest prices of the year on living rooms, dining rooms, bedrooms, and more. Plus, you'll get interest-free financing when you take until 2015 to pay. Everything marked down to our guaranteed lowest prices, plus nothing down and no interest till 2015. It's our New Year's sale this Friday, New Year's Eve. We'll be open late till 9 p.m. Only at More. Furniture for less.
Attention. If you received a shoulder pain pump after your arthroscopic surgery, there is a chance you could develop shoulder cartilage disintegration, or PAGCL.
If this has happened to you or a loved one, it's important that you call me right away. You may be entitled to financial compensation.
If you've been using a shoulder pain pump and now have any of these symptoms, call the Goldwater Law Firm right now.
Call 1-800-322-0342. That's 1-800-322-0342.
Thanks for watching. On Monday, we have Perry Como, the former state budget director, not the old singer.